ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయే. నష్టప్రాయేష్వభద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా. భగవత్యుత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్టికి. కృష్ణాయ వాసుదేవాయ దేవకీ నందనాయ చ నందగోపకుమారాయ గోవిందాయ నమో నమః. జయతి జయతి దేవో దేవకీ నందనోసో జయతి జయతి కృష్ణ వృష్ణివంశ ప్రదీపః. జయతి జయతి మేఘ శ్యామల కోమలాంగౌ. జయతి జయతి పృథ్వీ భారనాశౌ ముకుందౌ. కృష్ణ భగవానికి, శ్రీమద్ భాగవతంకి వి వెల్కమ్ ఎవ్రీ వన్ ఆఫ్ యూ ఫర్ దిస్ సండే ఫీస్ట్ ప్రోగ్రామ్. మెనీ ఆఫ్ యూ మైట్ హావ్ కమ్ విత్ ఆంటిసిపేషన్ ఆఫ్ హిజ్ హోలీనెస్ రాధనా స్వామి మహారాజ్ స్పీకింగ్ టుడే. I am very sorry to disappoint all of you. On the order of my superiors here, I am here to sit and share a few words. But the topic is a very lofty one. It is Atmanivedanam. I can only speak the theory about it. But the practical application of Atmanivedanam is a very advanced platform. So in Sri Sri Radha Gopinath temple, in the last several weeks, a series of lectures have been going on, beginning with Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, and concluding with Atmanivedanam. So, just as Kaviraj Goswami says, and also it is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, that every bird has its wings with which it can fly to different heights in the sky. And sky is so high. A sparrow can fly some distance, and crow can fly some distance, and swan can fly even much higher. Eagles, they can fly very high. Similarly, within the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said everybody should glorify the Supreme Lord according to their capacity, whatever way they may be able to glorify. So, with confidence of that particular verse in the Bhagavatam, I am sitting here to speak some glories of the Supreme Lord. In the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a verse which we will recite now. And because that verse talks about all the Navavidha Bhakti. When Hiranyakashipu, who saw that the whole universe is saluting him and bowing down to him, there is only 1 5-year-old boy who is chanting another mantra, Om Namo Narayanaya Namaha. Everybody else is saying, Om Hiranyakashipuve Namaha. So he became surprised. How is it? This boy, and that too he happens to be my son, he is supposed to be like me, following in my footsteps, doing all atrocities which I do. But how is it that, you know, he is inclined to devotional service? So he called for his son, along with the two teachers, Shanda and Amaraka. So he asked his son, my dear child, because any father has naturally affection for the child. So he saw that the tender Prahalad is coming and falling at his feet. He picked up the child and smelled his head with love, and keeping him on his lap, he asked him this question. Tell me, amongst all the different type of knowledge in this world, what is the best type of knowledge? Tell me. At that time, Prahalad spoke this verse. Please repeat after me. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnor, Smaranam Padasevanam, Archanam Vandanam Sakhyam, Atmanive Dasyam Sakhyam, Dasyam Sakhyam Atmanivedanam, సఖ్యం ఆత్మనివేదనం ఇతి పుంసార్పితౌ విష్ణో భక్తిశ్చేన్నవలక్షణా క్రియేత భగవత్యద్ధా తన్మన్యే అధీతముత్తమం. See, Prahlada is saying in this verse, my dear father, probably you might have heard about this Navavidha Bhakti. Hiranyakashipu was not unaware of it. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, these up to Dasyam, it is Vaidhi Bhakti. And Sakyam Atmanivedanam, it is Raganuga Bhakti. Like that Prabhupada explains in the fourth canto in one place. Sakyam Atmanivedanam. Iti Pumsa Arpita Vishnu. When this Navavidha Bhakti is offered to Lord Vishnu, Bhakti is chain Navalakshana. This is the way the Bhakti is expressed to the Supreme Lord. Devotional service means we should render some service and it should be done with love. That's all. Nothing more to be done. Recently we were reading the pastime of fruit vendor lady coming to Vrindavan, isn't it? So when she was loudly calling out the people, you know, small baby Krishna, he picked up some rice particles, because in those days there was barter system. So as he came running, it is said that Krishna's name is Achyuta. Achyuta means one who never slips, and one who is not supposed to allow the rice particles to slip also. But when he came running, Lord Achyuta brought the rice particles, but Chyuta Danya Karadvayam, it is said. Chyuta Danya means the Danya fell out of his hands, and only one or two rice grains remained in his hand. And then he came and showed her, can you please take this and give me your mangoes? So she saw in his tender, you have seen the children's hands are so tender and rosy, pinkish and like a flower. So when she saw this tender child, Krishna, Chyuta Danya Karadvayam, it is said. Not only that, it is said, Krishna, who is the Falapradaha, one who gives fruits to other people in this world for all their good karma, bad karma and everything, he became Falarthi. Falarthi means he became eager for procuring fruits from this fruit vendor lady whose heart was filled with devotion. So Lord became Falarthi, which means Lord is hungry for the love of his devotees. So he is coming and showing his hand. And when that fruit vendor lady saw his tender hands with two particles of rice, she laughed and saw the child's eagerness for the fruits. And she filled his hands with plenty of fruits, as much as he could hold. It was a little overburden for Krishna to hold. That much she gave. And she didn't notice until she looked back in her basket. It was filled with all types of diamonds and jewels and gold and silver and everything. Because it is said apurayan ratnaihi. It is said while she was filling Krishna's hands with fruits, Krishna was filling her basket with jewelry, very costly jewelry. What a deal. She must be giving something worth 20-30 rupees and Krishna is giving something worth 20-30 crores. Can you imagine? Because the transaction between them is one of love, which is the only thing that Krishna demands. Prabhupada says, this is the only little condition in the path of bhakti, but the problem is the little condition takes lifetimes to awaken. Prabhupada sometimes says, just like when you go to a temple, you have to put your sandals, chappals in a chappal stand, and then you climb up and come and take darshan of the Lord. Little condition. Like that, Prabhupada says, when you enter the temple, you should enter the temple with eyes of love. Then you look at the Lord, then the Lord will manifest His beauty to you. But that little condition is not very easy. Easily said than done. So that is why Prabhupada writes, the path of devotional service, he says in one of the places, he says, is simple. At the same time, when we apply practically, there is some challenge. And what is that challenge? That challenge is, we are not able to surrender utterly with our body, mind and words. You know Ashtanga Pranam we do? You know which are the parts of the body engaged in Ashtanga Pranam? means. The two legs, the two hands, our head, chest, and then, yeah, our mouth should murmur some prayer also. Our mouth should murmur some prayer. We should loudly chant some prayer also. And one more thing is involved. What is it? Mind. What should we do in the mind? In the mind, we should think the Lord is putting His lotus feet on my head. So, accepting the Lord's feet on our head, we should chant some prayer in supplication, in surrender to Him, praying Him for purifying our head and heart. So, in this way, offering obeisances sometimes is very easy externally, but in consciousness to remember the Lord is sometimes difficult, isn't it? So, when we talk about Atmanivedanam, it is not only putting the body on the ground like a stick, which is called Dandavat. Danda means a stick. When Brahma fell at the feet of Krishna, he was like lying like a golden stick, it is said. Dandavat means, like if you keep a danda like this and take off your hand, what will happen? It will fall like this. Like that, we should fall on the ground without reservation. That is the meaning of Dandavat. Which means, sometimes somebody is highly educated, he has done his postdoctorate fellowship from America and he is coming to our temple and he is looking at the deity. Somebody tells him, come on, do Dandavat. And he is little hesitant, should I bow down or not? All right. You know, he says like that. Because sometimes we have the pride of our education or pride of our material greatness, which makes us refuse to do Dandavat, refuse to bow down. Yesterday, Isolas Radhanaswami Maharaj was remembering one of the pastimes which comes to my mind. Gargarishi Prabhu was the only one who was not falling on the ground. When everybody else had fallen down, Jaivo Vishnupada Paramahamsa Parivrajagat, Prabhupada was saying, and he was not falling on the ground. And later on, Prabhupada told one of the devotees that he should offer obeisance. So he came to Prabhupada and said, Swamiji, I don't feel like bowing down. He said, Prabhupada said, if you bow down, then you will feel like bowing down. The feelings will come later. Right now, you have to bow down first. Vande Guroshi Charanaravindam, like the Prabhupada said. One should bow down without hesitation. When Krishna Balaram temple was opened, Srila Prabhupada was standing there and he told his Western disciples, see, in India, people are so fond of God. We opened the temple without invitation, so much crowd has come. We send invitation to various people far, far away. They have come also. But the other people in the neighborhood, they don't need your invitation because they have a connection with God. They came and they fell in front of Krishna Balaram and they were doing circumambulation, pradakshina. They were taking the arati lamp and they were, everybody was in great smiles, taking part in the kirtan, clapping hands and dancing. Prabhupada said, in India, they are 100% Krishna conscious. Prabhupada used to say like that. Of course, we have to keep Prabhupada's word. Prabhupada used to say that India is 100% Krishna conscious. They naturally, they come to the temple of the Lord and they bow down to Him. But this is the beginning of Atmanivedanam. One time I asked my spiritual master, after one of the lectures, I met him in his room and I asked him that, you know, in every lecture you tell this, Trinada Peshanechayana Tararupe Sahishnuna. That seems to be a very challenging verse. I said, you have to become humble like straw in the street, and you have to be tolerant like a tree, and you should not expect any respect from anyone, and you should offer all respect to others. Then I asked him, is it the highest point in spiritual life, like the crescendo? There is nothing more to be attained. It seems that these four qualities are everything. If you attain this, you have done everything. So he said, oh, there is another higher point, higher platform to be achieved. And that verse he said, Ashlishava padaratam pinashtumam adarshanan marmahatam karotuva yatatata vavidadhatu lampato matprananatastu sayevana paraha. He said, this is the ultimate, he said. Why? Because in this verse, Srimati Radharani is singing, and she's telling that, oh, my dear Supreme Lord, you can, if you wish, you may embrace me, or you can trample upon me, put me under your feet and trample upon me. You may do whatever you like with me. You are my master. I am simply your servant. And I have no expectation from you. I am your unconditional servant. So he said, this is the highest. So then I was surprised. Really? There is something higher than Trinadati also. Then I asked him, but why don't you quote this also in your lectures? He said, oh, for this there's a long time to go, he said. First let people follow Trinadati first, he said. So Trinadati itself is enough for us, you are telling. So in this way, that unconditional attitude inside our heart while surrendering to Lord and to Guru Parampara, that kind of unconditional surrender without any reservation, not only putting the body on the ground, the mind is also involved. The words are involved. Ultimately, the soul is involved. So, some Vaishnava Acharyas have said, Atma Nivedana means surrendering one's body. Like Hanuman gave his body completely in Lord Rama's service. You know, Lord Rama, wherever Lord Rama wanted him to go and whatever he ordered him to do, there is one definition of dedication. Anything, anywhere, anytime is dedication. What is dedication? Yeah. Of course, this is what Indian Army also expects from you. But actually, this is one definition of dedication. That's how Hanuman was dedicated to Lord Ram. He was ready to lay down his life. So, you see, how much Hanuman was surrendered completely is observable by his exchanges with the obstacles that he faced on the way. One of the obstacles was Surasa in the ocean when he was flying. So Surasa was one who opened her mouth. She said, nobody goes to Lanka without entering my mouth, she said. And Hanuman said, really? Then if somebody enters into your mouth, you may eat them up. Then how do they go to Lanka? She said, yes, that's why you are not supposed to go there. That is why I am here on the way, to stop people from going there. Because I am the screening agent. Who can be allowed and who cannot be allowed? That's why they go into my belly, that's all, she said. Because nobody has ever in the past has gone into my mouth and come out. So then Hanuman became a little upset. He said, you are blocking my way. I have a very important business to do. So Hanuman wanted to show her how big he was. So he increased his size. Then she also increased her mouth size. And this is what happens sometimes in the buses and trains. We have a fight with somebody. Kavala, what did you say? And then this fellow catches him there. Then both of them are like, you know, catching each other's collar, and sometimes they slap also. Or they, like that they start roaring, isn't it? So when it becomes an ego display, abhi dekha jayega, who is more powerful, correct, no? It becomes like a battle kind of thing. That's what was happening between Hanuman and Surasa. She was opening her mouth big. 10 yojanas, 20 yojanas, 30 yojanas. Hanuman was making his body bigger and bigger. He wanted to show her that I am no lesser than you. I am also. In fact, before making his big size, Hanuman was humble also. Hanuman told her, see, do not block my way. I am on an important mission. I am on Lord's mission to find out where is Sita. So let me go now to Lanka. I'll find out information of Sita, go to Ram, deliver the news, and then I will come back and go into your mouth. Then if you want, you can eat me, no problem. Let me finish my mission. But she said, nothing doing. So then Hanuman became angry, because she was actually impeding his mission for Lord Rama. So then when Hanuman thought that this appears like an endless game, in South India there is a Shiva temple where there is a beautiful pastime which happened there. Sala Purana says that once Brahma became very proud. Don't ask me why. Because such things do happen to devatas also sometimes. So we can learn good lessons from them rather than get stuck up in these pastimes. So Brahma became proud and Lord Shiva wanted to teach Brahma good lessons. So Shiva declared a competition. Anyone who touches my head, you know, I agree that that person is greater than me. So Brahma was already, you know, carried away by pride. So he wanted to prove that, you know, I can touch your head. So what he did, when he went to touch his head, Lord Shiva started growing. Bigger and bigger and bigger. And Brahma started flying up, 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 up. He could never touch. Shiva was growing much, much more faster. And Brahma was wondering, what will happen if I am unable to touch? All the other devatas are watching me. So he tried to increase his speed. In the meantime, another thing happened. Somebody touched Lord Shiva's feet down. And immediately Lord Shiva bowed down and asked, "Hey, who is touching my feet?" Imagine if any of you, when you are standing and looking somewhere, somebody suddenly touches your feet. Will you allow them? Is there anybody here who will want to allow? Because if somebody touches our feet, all their bad karma will come to us. And when you touch back, it goes back. So that is not the reason why you will not allow them to touch. A Vaishnava generally considers himself the lowest of the lowest. A Vaishnava never feels, somebody can touch my feet and I can give my dust. We are not Lord Nityananda to give our dust to somebody. So we will not let anyone touch our feet. Similarly, Lord Shiva is a Parama Vaishnava. Vaishnavanam. So when he saw somebody touching his feet, immediately bowed down. Who was that person? It was Varaha Dev. Lord Varaha was touching Shiva's feet. As soon as Shiva bowed down, Varaha touched his head. And Lord Shiva laughed and said, "My dear Lord, you are eternally my Lord. You don't have to prove that you are my Lord by touching my head. I was doing this and tamasha only for Brahmaji. Not for you. You are already, it's implied that you are my master." He said. But the point is what? There is a tendency for not bowing even the body also. What to speak of bowing the mind, bowing one's soul to the Lord. Not very easy. Like one time, Vasishtha and Vishwamitra competition you all know very well. One time Vasishtha wanted to make Vishwamitra become more humble. So he had made an entrance of his cottage only 4 feet high. But Vishwamitra was quite high and taller. So, of course, practically everyone sitting here, you are higher than 4 feet, isn't it? Imagine if you are five and a half or 6 feet high, then how will you go inside? Naturally, you have to bow down like this. So Vishwamitra thought, why should I bow? Instead of that, he bended his knee. Like this, he bended his knee. He didn't want to bow. You understand what I'm saying? He thought, let my leg bend, not my head. So, to do Atma Nivedanam, to bow down our body, itself takes many lifetimes. Even to put our body in the feet of the Lord. You see, when parents come here in front of Radha Gopinath and they fall on the ground, the child will see the father or mother and immediately child also will do it. But if the child is a 13 plus old child, it's a little doubtful. The child will follow the mother and father. The child is a teenager or beyond. If you ask him, "Hey, Papa is doing, Papa karenge, humko kya?" He is a little sentimental. They may think like that. So, even to bow the body itself takes many, many lifetimes. Some acharyas have said that Atma Nivedanam is putting our body down. By putting our body down, we are attracting Lord's grace. Not only Lord's grace, when you bow down even to a grandfather or grandmother, immediately blessings come on us. Their heart opens up, blossoms, and they develop good wishes for us. And in this way, one can become a collector of blessings. Just like one of the austerities of the body is, Devadvijag Guru Pragnam Pujanam Shauchamarjavam Brahmacharyam Ahimsacha Shariram Tapavuchyate. So this verse says, Deva means the Supreme Lord, Dvija means the Brahmanas, Guru, Deva Dvija Guru, Pragnyam, the learned people, elders. So one should bow down to them. That's one of the austerities of the body, it is said. By bowing, we actually draw the blessings. And Yamaraj, while speaking to the Yamadutas, told one famous verse, Jagvana Bhakti Bhagavad Gunanama Dheyam Chetaschana Smarati Tacharanarabindam Krishnaya no namati yachira yekada pitanana yadvam asato akrata vishnukrityan. He is telling, my dear Yamadutas, Jihvana Bhakti Bhagavad Gunanama Dheyam, if anybody in this world, he has never chanted Hare Krishna even once with their mouth. Chetaschana smarati, in their chetana and their chitta, they have never remembered the Lord even once also. And Krishnaya no namati, they never bowed their head down in front of the Lord. Thana anadvam, bring those fellows to me. Asato, he's telling. Asat fellows, he's saying. Akrita Vishnu Krityan. Vishnu ke liye kuch nahi kiya hai. He has not done anything for Lord Vishnu. I will punish them. Fortunately, we all have bowed down several times. Isn't it? So, that is why in the beginning of the sixth canto, there is one verse which says, Sakrin Mana Krishna Padaravinda Yor. Sakrin means only once. Sakrin Mana Krishna Padaravinda Yor. Niveshitam Yad Gunaragi Yairiha. Nateja Mampa Shabritaschatad Bhatan Swapne Pipashanti Hichirna Nishkrita. That verse says, in your mind, if you have bowed down to Lord even once, and you are accepting a Kantimala, and you are accepting the Tilak, and you are accepting the Vaishnava lifestyle, then he says, Swapne Pipashanti Hichirna. Even in Swapna also, Yamadutas won't come. He says like that. That verse says. Because you are protected by the symbols of Vishnu. By applying Tilak. Tilak is applied for purification and protection. Similarly, bowing down to the Lord willingly, voluntarily, happily, accepting Him as our Master. This is actually the preliminary step in Atmanivedanam. But there are further steps in Atmanivedanam, which is like, you know, offering one's mind. That is a little greater step, because Arunako Riho Mane Asha, we say, no? Which means, I will not listen to my mind. Mind goes by likes and dislikes. I like or I don't like. Whereas he says, is there a Bhagavad Gita? Can I have one copy of Bhagavad Gita? I will just read out a few lines for you from Bhagavad Gita 4.21, which is a very amazing purport of Srila Prabhupada. In that purport, Prabhupada says that how a devotee should live one's devotional life and how one should not live. So that 4.21 purport gives. Can you show me? Yeah, can. Book is coming? Yeah, that's Bhagavad Gita is coming, yeah. So, in this verse, 4.21, it's a very beautiful verse. Prior to that, 19th verse, please repeat after me. Yasa sarve samarambha kama sankalpa varjitaha jnanagni dagda karmanam Tamahu Panditam Buddha. This verse which I recited just now says, Yascha Sarve Sama Aramba. Any project we start in our life, Kama Sankalpa Varjitaha. We should not have any attachment to credit. We can do any activity for Krishna and Guru, but we should not be attached to the name, fame, glory and credits that come with it. Jnanagni Dagda Karmanam. With full awareness of Krishna being the empowerer and Krishna being the supplier of our strength of the senses and everything. With full knowledge, if we perform our duties without fruity mentality, tamahu panditam buddhaha, then you are called as a pandita, learned person, he says. All our karmic reactions are burnt to ashes. Which means, like somebody asked Isolan Ranath Swami Maharaj, Maharaj, sometimes I don't do a mistake, but still somebody scolds me. Or sometimes I do a good work, but somebody else takes the credit. So whenever it happens like this, I feel severe pain. And it happens sometimes. Like one time, Isolana Dhanaswami Swami Maharaj had gone somewhere to some place, and the toilets were all thoroughly cleaned. And then he looked around, and there were some Mataji standing, and Maharaj said, very neatly cleaned, very nice. And they all said, thank you, Maharaj, they all said. But they didn't clean the toilet. Some other Prabhujis had cleaned. So the Prabhujis had a problem. We cleaned the toilet and they are saying thank you as if, so they have stolen our credit. They were thinking. Later on, Maharaj came to the Prasadam Hall. There the plates were all spick and span, shining. And the Prabhujis were serving. And Maharaj saw how neatly the oil plates are all cleaned up nicely. He said, very nice. And Prabhuji said, thank you, Maharaj. But they didn't clean the plates. Mataji cleaned it. So, in one of those lectures, when the lecture was given, when the question was asked, why do we do, sometimes we do something, somebody else takes the credit. Maharaj said, you must have taken their credit before. So, your credit is taken by somebody else. He said. So, in this way, there is a tendency in us that when we do service to Guru and Krishna, there are two components in it. One is material component, one is spiritual component. Spiritual component says, oh, I want to serve Krishna. Krishna is my master. I want to serve my spiritual master. I simply want to please him. All glories to Guru and Gauranga. All glories. How much glories? Is 60% glories to Guru and Gauranga. 40% for me. Correct. So, although we say, all glories, all glories, all glories to Shishi, Guru and Gauranga. And how much glories for you, sir? Nothing. Zero. Really? Do you mean it? 99% of the time, we don't mean it. Because we don't even know what is the meaning of it. We say it like a parrot. A parrot also will say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And you catch the neck of the parrot, it will make sound, isn't it? So, actually, it is easily said than done. If you can do work and completely offer it to Guru and Krishna, and not expect any credit. See, this is not very easy. I read in one of the articles, there was one Dr. Kalam's boss. I think his name was Satish Dhiman or somebody, I think. Satish Dhawan was the boss of Dr. Kalam. So Dr. Kalam was working on, you know, sending one of the rockets in those days, in 70s. He was working on a program. So Mr. Satish Dhawan had told him, his boss had told him that, you know, this computer program has to be debugged. There are many small problems. So we should not launch it unless it is done fully. So somehow the team was hurrying up. There was some deadline. And then they launched the rocket, and the rocket exploded after some time in the sky. It led to a very big loss, crores of rupees. So many of the newspaper reporters came to catch the team and ask them, you know, how did you entail such a big loss and what happened exactly? So this Satish Dhawan, he came in the front, the forefront, and then he told all the other fellows that I will give the interview, and he gave the interview. We are very sorry, our team has, you know, we were working and there was some mistake in the program and everything. So 10 years later, they were launching another rocket. Second time it was successful because everybody followed the leader and everything went well. Now when the newspaper reporters wanted to publish the success article, so Satish Dhawan went behind and told Kalam, you give the interview. But Kalam said, sir, this time you are a success, why don't you give? He said, anyway, you know, my goal was to see that the result will be successful, that we have already done it. It doesn't matter whether I give the interview, you give the interview, you all give it, he said. So Dr. Kalam noted this, and then he wrote a paper article in the paper saying that, you see, a leader, when people are throwing rotten eggs, the leader should be in the front, opening the chest, accepting it. And when some good work happens and people are coming forward to give you bouquets, a leader should be sticking his neck out of the window to distribute the bouquets to the other people. So that is a very noble leader, he was telling. So in the same manner, the ideal disciple is one who considers himself only an instrument. How? Srila Prabhupada gives a nice example in one of his lectures. He says, if you find a snake moving, immediately a man may take iron rod and pat, hit the snake and kill it. So, in the same manner, like the snake, there are snake-like mentality in this world which is called Asuri Pravritti, which the Lord wants to destroy. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashayach. So, for destroying the Dushkritam, the Lord wants His devotees as His instruments, like that rod. But the beauty of that rod is, it has no life symptoms. So it's very easy for the rod to surrender, correct now? Because the rod is not going to protest or something. You can just pick a rod and hit it. Like that rod, we have to become instruments in our life also, in the hands of spiritual master, in the hands of Krishna. That is considered an ideal instrument, which means an instrument which doesn't create any headache or any problem. So regarding that, in 4.21, there is a nice purport. We have another mic. I can request someone to read this. Yeah, you can read, Prabhuji, 4.21. Purport, you can read. Purport.
Really?
It's important. Nan finish up inga send the water bottle.
A Krishna conscious person does not expect good or bad results in his activities. His mind and intelligence are fully controlled. He knows that because he is part and parcel of the Supreme, the part played by him as a part and parcel of the whole is not his own activity, but is only being done through him by the Supreme. When the hand moves, it does not move out of its own accord, but by the endeavor of the whole body. A Krishna conscious person is always dovetailed with the supreme desire, for he has no desire for personal sense gratification. He moves exactly like a part of a machine. As a machine part requires oiling and cleaning for maintenance, so a Krishna conscious man maintains himself by his work just to remain fit for action in the transcendental loving service of the Lord.
Means a Krishna conscious person can eat prasadam, he can sleep, he can, he can do his family duties. All those things are allowed for a Krishna conscious person. But keeping the body equipped, what he does? Simply he engages in Krishna consciousness. He has no motivation in doing his services. He simply wants to serve to please Guru and Krishna. Go ahead.
He is therefore immune to all the reactions of his endeavors. Like an animal, he has no proprietorship even over his own body.
Like a cow. The same example is given in that Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu purport, if you read Atmanivedanam. Same example is given of a cow. Like a cow who is living in the custody of a farmer, it will silently sit in one place, you know, whatever grass is put, it will eat, and it will give milk, and it doesn't cause any trouble to the master. And the cow, if you go near the cow and render its little service to cow, our mode of goodness will increase for us. You will see the gir guy, you know, gir cow is big body in size, but it is very mild animal, very peacefully situated. So that example is given for a pure devotee. A pure devotee lives in the custody of Krishna, and whatever Krishna provides as prasad, he accepts. And he engages his body, mind, words, everything in Krishna's service. Yes.
A cruel proprietor of an animal sometimes kills the animal in his possession. Yet the animal does not protest, nor does it have any real independence. A Krishna conscious person, fully engaged in self-realization, has very little time to falsely possess any material object. For maintaining body and soul, he does not require unfair means of accumulating money.
See, sometimes Krishna may shower his mercy on the devotee in various ways. For Prahlad Maharaj, Krishna told, Prahlad, you are such a wonderful devotee of me that don't worry, every day I will send you one punishment through your father. You know, one day your father will put you under the elephants, another day he will put you in the ocean, third day he will arrange for men to hurl you down the cliff, one day he will put you in a cage of hungry lions. Because you are my special devotee, I request you to play this role. And Prahlad never protested. My dear Lord, how can you deal with your pure devotee? He didn't ask like this. He accepted those punishments. Why? Because the Lord wanted to show my pure devotees are like a sandalwood tree. The more you take an axe and hit a tree, the more fragrance will come out. The more Prahlad was encountering problems, you know, assassination attempts sent by his father, the more his good qualities emerged. Isn't it? So sometimes the Lord may appear cruel. Actually, Lord is not cruel. The Lord sometimes deals with the pure devotees in that way. For example, in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, you find Krishna is telling Arjuna, my dear Arjuna, you do the drama of being illusioned. And then I will wake you up from illusion. How? By speaking the Bhagavad Gita. And then you should fight the battle. Until then, you should behave like an illusioned person. Basically, he's telling you should behave like a fool, you know. So this role Krishna is telling Arjuna to play. Like sometimes in a drama, somebody has to play the role of, you know, somebody who has fallen unconscious, correct, no? And then somebody comes and sprinkles water or they do something and then the person is supposed to get up, correct, no? So generally in drama, if you are supposed to act in a drama, you will take an actor who is already conscious and ask him to pretend to be unconscious, correct? Imagine if somebody asks you, "Hey, already somebody is unconscious, you can catch him and put him in the drama." Yeah, you can put him, problem is he will never get up. When you sprinkle water also, he will be like, that is why Krishna did not take a conditioned soul for talking Bhagavad Gita. Because if he speaks Bhagavad Gita to any Tom, Dick and Harry, what will happen? At the end of Gita, he will still be in illusion. So, Krishna took whom? Arjuna. And then, as soon as Arjuna surrendered to Krishna, Shishyaste aham shadi mam tvam prapannam, you find immediately Krishna chastising Arjuna. Ashochanan vashochastvam prajna badanshya bhashase. Bada bada bat karta hai tum. But Arjuna, you are speaking like a learned pandita, but you don't know the difference between body and soul. You are simply a fool. And Arjuna is listening patiently because he has accepted the Guru. And Guru has the right to correct the disciple and enlighten the disciple. And Arjuna is accepting. And why does Krishna make Arjuna his candidate for receiving the Bhagavad Gita? There is a reason. Imagine if Krishna were to address the audience who is reading the Gita directly instead of speaking to Arjuna. Imagine you open the Gita, the first verse says, "You are a fool, you don't know the difference between body and soul." You will close the book and throw it away. Is it not? Somebody calling me a fool, I don't want to hear. Isn't it? So instead of calling us a fool, Krishna is calling Arjuna a fool. So Prabhupada gives an example there. Sometimes the Lord makes his pure devotees, puts them in awkward position, as if they are illusioned. Like that, why? It is exactly like a mother sometimes has to correct her daughter-in-law. In India, sometimes mother-in-law, daughter-in-law dynamics becomes dangerous. So, but the daughter-in-law, how will she learn? You know, daughter-in-law is a computer engineer. She is earning, drawing a good salary. Only thing is she has never entered the kitchen. And now she is serving in the in-law's house. And she is told to serve, and she doesn't know how to serve. She is taking little sabji and putting in, you know, she is putting this much of sabji in the center, little bit of rice in one corner. And the mother-in-law is watching how foolish she is. But the moment she corrects, immediately the antenna will be on. She will take the husband to London and go away. So, mother-in-law, what she thinks, I will not correct the daughter-in-law, what she does? She chastises the daughter. "You foolish daughter, you don't know how to serve." And the daughter-in-law is secretly understanding, "Oh, I committed the mistake and she had to take the painful pill of chastisement." And then the daughter-in-law learns. So we are like daughter-in-law and Arjuna is like daughter. So Lord is chastising whom? Arjuna. Correct. So this is what Prabhupada is saying. Sometimes a master may be cruel to the servant, apparently. But the pure devotees never consider that the Lord is cruel to me. You see, Parikshit is putting the dead snake around the neck of Samikrishi. And Srila Prabhupada explains that it is impossible for such an incident to happen. Parikshit is a pure devotee. He can never do such a thing. It's not possible. And Samikrishi is a sage, Brahmana. How will a great Kshatriya king who considers Brahmanas their advisors, how will he put a snake around his neck? It was completely unprecedented. And in thirst and hunger, also pure devotees will never take any action on others because they don't take any personal insult at all. But how did the Parikshit Maharaj take a personal insult and put the snake around his neck? It's impossible. Like the Prabhupada says, it's impossible, impossible. And finally Prabhupada says, therefore it is will of the Supreme Lord. That Parikshit has to put the dead snake around the neck of Samikrishi. It was impelled by the Lord. Yudhishthira Maharaj is playing gambling match. It was impelled by Krishna. So the pure devotees sometimes are conducted by the Lord like an autopiloted plane. So pure devotees are like a autopiloted plane, which is made to fly from a control room. And such an autopiloted plane loses its independence. Correct, no? So, Krishna is Swarat, fully independent. And what about Jiva? Is Jiva fully dependent? Is Jiva fully dependent or fully independent? Yes? Minutely independent. Because we are minute Jivas, we are given minute independence. and Krishna is the supreme whole, he is fully independent, isn't it? Pure devotees offer that minute independence to Krishna in his lotus feet and say, my dear Lord, you take my independence. I will exactly act as you wish. So much so that the pure devotees can understand Krishna's mind also. And that is the highest platform. So, in this way, two examples are given by Prabhupada in this purport of Bhagavad Gita. He says, like a well-oiled machine, he says, we should function like a well-oiled machine. If you don't put oil, what will happen? Machine will make sounds, isn't it? It will get heated up also, isn't it? Similarly, sometimes when we are given some austerities to do, we may become angry also. Imagine, for example, you have to do Nirjala Ekadashi, Pandava Nirjala Ekadashi. One full day you have to fast. Sometimes when a person is made to fast, he becomes angry. You know, he will think, when will I get... Imagine next day morning, they are announcing, 6:10 to 9:10, you can break your fast. At 6 o'clock only, there is a long queue of people. Isn't it? People are just waiting, when will I put some water in my mouth? Isn't it? Imagine you are a senior devotee, you go to another temple, somebody sees you are a senior man who has come, they come running with a garland. You will say, Prabhuji, garland baad mein edo pahle paani do. Correct, no? Then he goes inside and comes with chandan. You say, are, all formalities, keep them aside, give me water first. Correct, no? You will get wild. So, when we, you will see that when we do austerities, we get heated. Similarly, the machine also has to be a well-oiled machine. Otherwise, the machine gets heated up. Or it makes noise also. Noise is like shouting. Isn't it? So, and when you oil a machine well, it functions smoothly. A pure devotee is like a well-oiled machine. And what is that oil? He is filled with blissful Krishna consciousness. He, in remembering Krishna, in serving Krishna, he gets such Krishna conscious bliss. Tvadvirya gayana mahamrita magna chitta, he is saying. His heart is, his chitta is magna in Krishna's glorification. You see, most amazing in Bhagavatam, you find Dhruva Maharaj also saying something similar. He says, Bhaktim muhu pravahatam tvayi me prasango bhuyadananta mahatam amala shayanam yenanjasolbanamuru vyasanam bhavabdim neshye bhavad gunakatam mritapanamattaha. See, the last line is saying, Neshe Bhavat Katha Gunakatham Amrita Pana Mattaha. By drinking the Amrit of your glorification, my dear Lord, my heart is swelling in joy. I am ecstatic, he is saying. And if you don't have the juice of Krishna consciousness, we are static. You can't be ecstatic. So Dhruva Maharaj is ecstatically situated. Similarly, pure devotee is like a well-oiled machine, he functions very nicely. And one who is not yet purified, how do they function? There are some machines which give problems, you will see. They are problemed machines. Just like I have seen in a mill, they had this flour mill, you know. So in the flour mill, the machine was on, although there was no work happening. So I asked the flour mill owner, sir, such a huge machine, why have you put it on? Da-dang, 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 that was going on. Why didn't you switch it off? He said, what can I say? Ek bar switch off kiya to on nahi hoga, he said. Once you switch it off, gaya bhi. Phir se on karne ke liye, what you have to do? You have to bring sometimes operators and repair this, repair that. Because it has a, the machine has a tendency to do lot of work, otherwise if you switch it off, it will band pad jaye, it will be completely down like that. Similarly, some devotees, they work very hard. They go into Rajoguna. Rajoguna means, you know, so much of hard work they will do. Foaming in the mouth and late nights and early mornings, and they will torture their body, torture their mind, torture themselves, torture others also. Everybody. And they will work so much. And you tell them, hey, your mala is not happening properly. They will have this, this counter, yeah. While driving car, they will be counting and chanting. They will be doing. And you tell them, now you tell them, stop your service, enough of this service now. This is like a mindless endeavor. This is not service. Where is your right attitude? You need to serve. Service is like a song. It should be done like a melodious song. It should be done with proper consciousness. So you tell them, you reduce your service. they will close the service. Huh? And then you will not see them for 6 months. Huh? And you ask them, Prabhu, what happened to service? You told me to give up, now I have given it up. I didn't tell you to give up. Reduce little bit. Humko reduce kaise karna malum nahi. Karenge nahi to nahi karenge. This is one type of machine. Correct, no? This is one. That is another type of machine also. Like one place I had gone, I put on the switch of the fan. It was too fast, you know. So I had, there was a regulator, so I was trying to reduce it. But the fan has no connection to the regulator. You keep turning it, no effect at all. Wo apne duniya mein. So, this is one type of disciple, you see. There is another type of disciple, you know how? Like some tube lights, when you press the button, they will be on. When you take the hand off, off. That means we have to do too much follow-up. After giving the service, you cannot expect. There are very few people in this world, you know, if you have till means tail, we say, no? If you tell them the job is done, that is very rare actually, extremely rare. So well-oiled machine means this problem should not be there. One who is fully surrendered. So, aligning with the desire, Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam, Stapitam Yena Bhutale, Swayam Rupa Kadamakhyam, Dudat, Supapadantikam. So there we say, Manobhishtam means Lord Chaitanya's mind was understood by Rupa Goswami. That is the highest platform. In the Srimad Bhagavatam it is said, there are four types of disciples. Please repeat after me. Uttamaschintitam Kuryat, Proktakari Chamadhyamaha, Adhamo Ashraddaya Kuryat, Na Kuryat Uccharitam Pituhu. This comes in that episode of Yayati Maharaja. There he says, Uttamaschintitam Kuryat means, Puru is contemplating now, in that series of verses it comes there. So, uttamaschintitam kuryat, understanding the mind of the master, one should fulfill his desires. And that person is the topmost disciple, first class disciple. And the second class disciple is proktakari. As soon as the master orders him, do this, then he will do it. He's second class. Third class disciple is a fellow who will do half-hearted job. He will do it because he knows that if I don't do it, I will get a scolding. So he will do it. But the job will not be done perfectly. It will be done improperly. The quality is less. Either it is not done in time, it is not done on time, after a lot of chasing it happens. Or sometimes he has not fulfilled the order of Guru. Improperly he has done it. Somehow or other he has completed it. Like you can make a halwa in 15 minutes. Or you can make a halwa in 2 hours also. Like you can ask Gaurang Prabhu. I tell you. You know, you can put it in low flame and, you know, you can make it nicely roasted. And first, it will be so tasty. Somebody may say, I have finished in 15 minutes also. Isn't it? We don't say you can't finish it, but nobody can eat it. Isn't it? So, somebody may do a half-hearted job like that. And the fourth category, disciple, he says, Nakuryat, one who does not fulfill the order at all, he is considered to be the stool of the father, he says. I am not saying, Bhagavatam verse, it says. He is considered the lowest, it says. So, Atmanivedanam means one should gradually try to come to the first class. But Prabhupada said, disciple should be second class, because we should not imagine that my master has something in mind. So better that whatever is told we do. And if you think that I have understood the mind of the master, better ask him, is it what you want me to do? Correct, no? That is better for us. So in this way, Atma Nivedanam also means, fulfilling the order completely, thoroughly. When Kardamuni, you will find in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, he had a great desire to become a devotee of the Supreme Lord, Lord Vishnu. So when he was doing those penances, he was born from the shadow of Brahma. He was the 10th son, Kardamuni. So Brahma had a request for him, that I want you to marry and I want you to become a Prajapati, bigger children. So at the same time, he was concerned about his spiritual life also. So he performed his devotional service and meditation and everything. And then Lord Vishnu appeared. So while speaking to Lord Vishnu, Kardamuni told him, "My dear Lord, I simply want to be your devotee, but at the same time I want to fulfill the desire of my father, Brahma also. So, but if I marry, I may fall prey to entanglement. So I am seeking this blessing from you, that you only arrange for a proper partner for me in such a manner that I will not be entangled, but I will fulfill the duty to my father also." Hearing this, Lord Vishnu, he cried tears to see that this devotee of mine is such a pure devotee. He wants to become my pure devotee, and even to fulfill the order of his father, he is making me a mediator. He is whatever I will offer him is ready to accept. Like Prabhupada told Jagatarani Mataji, Prabhupada called her and told her that I want you to marry Burjan, Prabhu, who was from another place. Jagatarani Mataji says she had not even seen who this person was. And Prabhupada asked, "Do you want to meet the boy and talk? Can you accept him?" She immediately accepted. She was totally surrendered fully. Of course, if two people from two different cultures and backgrounds and countries and nationality and education and everything marry, it's not a very easy thing. Unless both have a deep love for the spiritual master, they cannot tolerate each other. Even all of us as practicing Vaishnavas, Prabhupada said, sadhana bhaktas, Prabhupada once compared to diamonds which are directly brought from the diamond ore. You know diamond ore? Which is brought from the mountains, which is still blackish and having lot of sharp ends. You put them in a machine and you plug it on, and then the machine moves. And then they all, depending on how sharp they are, they get polished more. And then after several days, when you switch it off, you find all the diamonds are polished. Similarly, Prabhupada said, when people join our movement, all of us, we will all polish each other. Because we are not yet pure. Like this. Because of our lower natures, we polish each other. And then at the end of our life, we'll be like polished diamonds, pure devotees. And we can go back to Godhead after that. So, in this way, but if one, in this way, when we come together, when we work together, sometimes we may sometimes have a great aversion for working with somebody. Like sometimes devotees say, "Prabhuji, I am ready to go for book distribution, but don't send me with him." Unke saath jamta nahi humko, some people say like that. So we have our reservations sometimes, correct? No? But those kind of reservations will gradually vanish if one awakens love for the spiritual master. Depending on how much one loves spiritual master, one will be ready to tolerate any kind of pain. Sometimes, even if somebody has insulted you, you will be ready to work with him or her. You will not mind for the pleasure of spiritual master. For example, Lord Vishnu wanted the demons and demigods to come together and do the churning of milk ocean, isn't it? Is it if demons and demigods can work, can't two devotees work together? Is it difficult? So, in this way, internal submission, that external submission means bowing down with the body. Internal submission means, in the absence of our master, how much are we ready to fulfill his desire? That is called internal submission. So that internal submission is very, very necessary. There is a saying, character means what you are when no one is around you. Similarly, internal submission means even when one is away from the master, and the disciple exactly aligns with the wishes of the master and executes those orders. So Kardamuni was such a person, Brahma became very pleased with him. There is one verse in a folio, if you put in inverted quotes, "Yes, sir," you will get it. He told Tat Badam, he told to Brahmaji, when Brahma ordered him to create progeny, he told, "Yes, sir." And then he fulfilled that order of Brahma. And Brahma became extremely pleased. Brahma said, "You are ideal son." So Lord also was very pleased with Kardamamuni as an ideal son, you find like that. So between the guru and the disciple also, the disciple, to the degree the disciple understands the teachings of the spiritual master and applies it in one's life, or at least endeavors to apply, struggles to apply. And in the course of struggling to apply, there has to be a change of heart. There has to be a transformation of heart. Because we say association means three things. There should be spiritual discussion, knowledge transmission, heart transformation. Please repeat. Spiritual discussion, knowledge transmission, heart transformation. Equal to association. This is the meaning of association. So we are coming at the and sitting at the lotus feet of spiritual master and hearing, or other Vaishnavas also we are hearing from them. So there has to be some spiritual discussion of what we are supposed to do and who we are and how do we connect with Krishna properly. You see, there is one very profound statement in the Bhagavatam purport of Prabhupada in the Bhishma Dev section. There Prabhupada says, the living entity is so made that he experiences utmost happiness when he places himself in a state of complete dependence at the lotus feet of Supreme Lord. I will repeat it again. He says, Prabhupada says there, the living entity is so made that he experiences utmost happiness when he places himself in a situation of complete dependence on the Supreme Lord. You understood? There are two, three components in this. One thing is, when we have minute independence, but you offer that minute independence to Guru and Krishna and say, now I surrender now. Now, whatever you say, I will do. I have full faith in your words. If you tell me to go to east, I'll go to east. If you tell me to go to west, I'll go to west. Wherever you say. I heard that when Srila Prabhupada was coming in the train, once Gurudas Prabhu also happened to be there. Tejas Prabhu, I think. So, when one gentleman was talking to Prabhupada, Swamiji, I am seeing that you people have come from America back and you are doing nice preaching in Bombay and other places. What about Delhi? If you wish, I can give you a place in Delhi, you can start some activities there. And Prabhupada told the devotee, Delhi station has come, get down now. He said. And the devotee is from abroad, he is not from India also. And he asked, Prabhupada, I should get down now. What do you want me to do? Go and start a center. Go and open a center. And the devotee was shocked. And Prabhupada said, this man will help you. Go with him. So, of course, the devotee went. Now today there are 13, 14 temples in Delhi today, if you see. So, in this way you will see, we have to ask ourselves. One time playfully Tamaksha Maharaj was telling Prabhupada, when all the Radha Damodar bus party buses were stopped, he was very upset. Because Radha Damodar bus party, they would go to the temples and tell the brahmacharis, living in temple is Maya. And traveling Sankirtan party is real Krishna consciousness. So brahmacharis will pack up the luggage and go with the bus. And next day morning, the temple presidents who were grihasthas, they would see no brahmacharis in temple. Everybody has gone with the bus. They all complained to Prabhupada. Prabhupada, everybody has gone with the bus party. And Prabhupada said, this he cannot do. And Prabhupada immediately called for Tamaksha Maharaj and said, you cannot do this, and all presidents in America are upset, and you should allow them to, you know, stay in the temple and everything. So at that time, when Prabhupada was planning to stop some of the buses because there were no enough devotees, so Tamaksha Maharaj said, if you are not distributing books, what's the use, Prabhupada? Better go to China. That's what he said. And Prabhupada immediately took note of that. What did you say? China. Very good. Go to China now. Then he said, no, Prabhupada, I was just joking, Prabhupada. No, you were joking, but I'm not joking. You know? So, and he followed it. Because he followed that instruction of Prabhupada, today you see there are hundreds of devotees in China. Pune, five Chinese young boys came and stayed in Pune for one full year. They won the heart of all the Pune devotees. And they are so enthusiastic. They have many of the seminars and everything which we give, they have translated them into Chinese language now, and they are doing. So, in this way you will see, Guru's order sometimes may be a Herculean task to follow, but a disciple is willing to make an effort, is willing to make a struggle even though it may be struggle. And that struggle is only possible in love. When there is no love, it is just next to impossibility. People, like, you know, if a husband and wife, in case there are some problems, if both are working towards a favorable solution, then again they are able to go on. Even in the Vedic times, if a wife has problem with the husband, she will go to the parents' home for a month or so. Then the husband will go to meet her parents, and the parents will say, "You are not keeping our daughter happy." He will promise them, "Don't worry, I'll keep her happy, send her with me. Nobody is there to cook at home, you know." So then they will leave her back, and then she will go with the husband and go and stay. And that is how life has been going on in the past. But in the modern times, people have become very brittle. So we say, you know, actually, why we become extremely brittle? Because our heart doesn't soften by the sacrifice and dedication of the spiritual master. Despite the spiritual master and the previous acharyas, how much they have put their sweat and toil and blood in bringing Krishna consciousness to our lives. Chakshudan yelo jai dhamajan. So, in this way, understanding the value of that, then we will be able to put aside our own preferences, conveniences, considerations, comforts, comfort level, all those things, we put them aside, and then we surrender like that. Only, I have been speaking a lot, I never came to the subject. I am supposed to finish with 2:45. So, in that purport of Prahlad Maharaja's Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam verse, there are three examples given for Atma Nivedana. One is the Vamanadev and Bali Maharaj example. Another example is given of Rukmini surrendering to Krishna. And yet another, one more example is given there also. Ambarish Maharaj. These three examples are given there. My original intention of today's class was to elaborate on these three, but suddenly I got into all these different things, which were like building up the background. So, till now what we have spoken, I told you in the beginning that, you know, bowing down our body is the preliminary stage in Atma Nivedana, isn't it? And then we were saying that not only body should bow down, mind also should bow down. Which means we should put aside our likes and dislikes and surrender to the desire of the master. So in that connection, we told a couple of examples from Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita purport. We should be like a well-oiled machine. Or we should be like a cow, surrender to the farmer. So like that, then we were telling about the four types of sons, you know, first class, second class, third class, fourth class and all that. Then I told about Kardamamani. So in this way, by all these things which I have spoken till now, you will get some idea about what is this Atma Nivedanam. Atma Nivedanam actually means self-surrender, surrendering body, mind, words, giving oneself utterly. When we give ourselves utterly to someone or something, we can see that we orbit around it. For example, if like Shankaracharya once while walking, he saw, you know, then he sang this poem, the Bhajagovindam. He says that, you know, all the small children, you know, they are playing with toys. Balyavastha, kreda sakta. Then the young boys, they are orbiting around young girls. You know, their life is, you know, all their 10 or 12 years or 15 years, they keep going round and round. They are watching movies and they make the life only into a movie. So, they are living in a dream world. Tarunavastha, Tarune Sakta. And then he said, well, the old people, what are they doing? They have a lot of diseases in their body and complications. Vriddhavastha, Chintamagna. Parabrahmani Kopena Sakta, he said. So, in this world, the people, everybody is orbiting around something. So, when we talk about Atma Nivedanam, actually, if we are orbiting around Guru and Krishna, in our chitta, in our heart, that is the right platform. Which means, you see, you can clearly distinguish between pious materialist and a spiritualist. For example, if pious materialist people are those who say, first, you know, my material life should be in order. And then if everything is alright, I will also do Krishna consciousness. Like that they say. And if in material life something is in disorder, oh, Krishna consciousness they will throw to the wind. They will never care about it. You don't know where they will throw away the mala after that. For them, the material life has to be in order first, which means, you know, if my business is going well, if my wife is not sick, if my children are getting good marks in the examination, and, you know, if all my loans that I have given are coming back, like that, they have 20 conditions, and then they will say, if all this is fulfilled, then I will also, you know, be Krishna conscious. This is called as a pious materialist. So the pious materialists, they orbit around many, many material things of the world, in material consciousness. So they surrender more to material life than spiritual life. You will see that. And not only that, they even take advantage of spiritual life for material purposes also. One boy called me in Pune and asked, Prabhuji, is it all right if I worship some demigods for material benefits? He was asking. I said, Arej, you are a Krishna conscious devotee, 16 rounder devotee. Why do you want to go to demigods? You know, he is saying, Prabhuji, chote chote cheez ke liye Bhagwan ko kyun disturb karne ga? You know. Demigods are there, you know. Anyway, he said, you know, Prabhuji, demigods will provide me all my needs and all, and the time of death, antakalichamave, Bhagwan to hai hai. You know. Then I will chant Hare Krishna at the time of death and go back. You know. Then I told him, see, if you are a Krishna's devotee, you should only go to Krishna. Dhruva Maharaj, he wanted a kingdom better than his grandfather. Whom did he go to? That Vishnu, isn't it? And similarly, Kardamuni wanted a wife. Whom did he go to? Vishnu only. Is it not true? Now, Hiranyakashipu wanted Amaratva. Whom did he go to? So if you are going to demigods, you are mini Hiranyakashipu. So he got frightened. When I told this, so you should not go. You should only go to Krishna only. So then he said, I also know all this philosophy, Prabhu, but I have a reason why I don't want to go to Krishna for material benefits. He said, asked why. You know, the problem is, you will purify my desires. I said, that's wonderful, if he purifies your heart. Then he said, if he purifies my heart, then kuch maja nahi, then I will not be able to enjoy. Yeah, sense gratification. Even if you get it also, I cannot enjoy. I said, yes, then you can go back to Godhead. So, you will see that Anya Vilashita, that bhakti means, you know, freedom from material attractions, material desires. It is not that, you see, Ambarish Maharaj, I will read one shloka from Ambarish Maharaj, you will see how Ambarish Maharaj is such an amazing personality. So, in this particular verse says, Suteshu, Dareshu, there's a long list of things given about how, this is the verse. This is 9427. Griheshu dareshu suteshu bandushu vipottamasyandana vaji vastushu akshayaratnabaranambaradishu anantakosheshu akarot asanmatim. It says that Ambarish Maharaj gave up attachment to household affairs, wives, children, friends, relatives, to the best of powerful elephants, chariots, carts. Now somebody may say, Prabhuji, I don't have any elephants, I don't have chariots. Instead of a chariot, you have a car. Carts, horses, inexhaustible jewels. So we have to say laptops and iPhones and ornaments, garments and inexhaustible treasury. He gave up attachment to all of them, regarding them as temporary and material, it is said. So, although he was surrounded by all these things, Ambarish Maharaj lived without any attachment to them. I heard a interesting pastime from Ambarish Maharaj's life from one Mukunda Datta Prabhu, who is the head pujari of Vrindavan temple. So he was telling a very beautiful pastime. So he was telling that when Ambarish Maharaj, at one time he had many queens, and how did he rule the kingdom is very amazing. In the morning he would go to the court, everybody would stand up, he would sit in his simhasana. And then all the ministers would sit, and they all would report to him. Somebody is water department, he will tell about water. Somebody is education department, he will tell about that. They all would stand up and give a report, And Ambarish Maharaj would only give a smile. Well done, well done. Just keep continuing what you are doing. That's all he would say. And for an hour or so, hour or two, he would hear. After that, he would go to Krishna's temple. And then he would do all the activities in Krishna's temple, service and everything. You see, his eyes were laden with love for Krishna. And his heart was filled with compassion for all the jivas as part and parcels of Krishna. And because of this, all the ministers and praja, everybody saw the king as a pure devotee. And they were simply satisfied with his devotional service. They didn't expect anything more from him, from the king. Under his rule, his praja never desired to go to heaven. Every one of his praja wanted to go to only spiritual world. They were all pure devotees of Vishnu, his praja. So one particular pastime I heard about him, one lady wanted to marry Ambarish Maharaj and become one of his queens. And she also came from a very good family. But Ambarish Maharaj refused. He told her that, "I don't have time for existing wives. How will I give time for you? You will be fed up if you marry me, because I have no time. I am already busy in Krishna service." So she said, "Because you are busy in Krishna service, that's why I want to marry you." She was insistent. Anyway, Ambarish Maharaj finally agreed. So she got married. So next day morning, Ambarish Maharaj went to take the empty pitcher, that pot for bringing Yamuna waters. So he'd bring waters from Yamuna. But when he was about to pick it up, he saw that it was full with water already. So he immediately called the servant and said, "Who brought this water?" And servant said, "Sir, it is Yamuna water. Your newly wedded wife, she brought it." Said. Then he called her and said, "See, this is my devotional service. You cannot interfere. You should let me do my seva for the Lord. You should not reduce my service for the Lord." So she said, no, whatever services you are doing, I will assist you along with you. So Ambarish became worried that, you know, if she assists me and she will end up doing everything and I won't do anything, I'll be like a delegator. I'll delegate all services and in the end I won't have anything to do. So she told her, "Don't worry, if you are insistent on doing service to Krishna, I will, you know, make a beautiful altar for you in your palace." He had given one palace to his wives. So in her palace, he made a beautiful altar and gave her. So she went back and she started entering service. So one day Lord appeared in Ambarish's dream and said, "Ambarish, I am more pleased with the service of your newly wedded wife than your service." And Ambarish was stunned. "Really?" And Lord said, "It's better for you to go and learn from her how to do devotional service." So then Ambarish went to her palace and he saw how meticulously she was serving in stitching the dress, in making the garlands, in offering the bhoga, in keeping utmost standard of cleanliness, and everything she was offering with devotion. Like that song we sing, you know, "Bhakti Preeti Mala Chanda." Tumi niyo he niyo chittanandan, niyo he niyo chittanandan. Jivana marana tava puja niveda. Sundara he manahare. Yesonanda Kumar, Ananda Kumar, Yesonanda Kumar. Ave prema pradipe arati tomar. Naya naya mona jareya niba. Tomara virahe giridhari. Vandana gane bhava bhajo jiva Krishna murari. Sri Krishna murari. Vandana gane bhava bhajo jiva Krishna murari. Sri Krishna murari. చూస్తే యేసో నంద కుమార్ ఆనంద కుమార్ ఓ సన్ ఆఫ్ నంద ప్లీజ్ కమ్ ఐ విల్ ఆఫర్ యూ ప్రేమ ప్రదీప్ ఐ విల్ ఆఫర్ యూ ల్యాంప్ లైట్ ఆఫ్ లవ్ ఐ విల్ ఆఫర్ యూ ల్యాంప్ నాట్ మేడ్ ఆఫ్ విక్స్ బట్ మేడ్ ఆఫ్ లవ్ ప్రేమ ప్రదీపే ఆరతి సో షీ వాజ్ ఆఫరింగ్ సచ్ అమేజింగ్ వర్షిప్ టు లార్డ్ విత్ గ్రేట్ డివోషన్ అండ్ లవ్ అంబరీష్ సాహ్ అండ్ ఇన్ ద మీన్ టైమ్ ద న్యూస్ స్ప్రెడెడ్ టు అదర్ క్వీన్స్ దాట్ అమర రాజా You know, he never comes to our palace, but he has gone to the newly wedded wife. Probably he has become a henpecked husband of the latest married wife. They are wondering, why is this fellow attracted to her? So all the queens were talking, whispering. And then they all sent spies to find out. The spies returned and said, because Lord has ordered him to go and see the queen's worship, because she is worshipping. Then they all went to Ambarish and demanded, we want our altar also. Make and give. Then Ambarish made altar for every one of the queens. And they all started worshipping also. In this way, Ambarish and his queens were all completely absorbed in devotional service. So, although externally he was surrounded by family, friends, elephants, horses, chariots, ministers, money and all these things, he was untouched by them, unattached to them. He was engaging everyone and everything in Krishna's service. This is actually the platform of Atmanivedana. Completely offering oneself. I think I have to conclude now. Another time when I speak to all of you, I will speak on Vaman Dev and Rukmini also, who showed such kind of complete shelter to the Supreme Lord. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki. I didn't speak elaborately about Srila Prabhupada going to West and showing Atma Nivedana because Parampuja Radhana Swami Maharaj yesterday spoke very beautifully in his Jaladuta lecture. So Srila Prabhupada showed complete self-surrender to the instructions of his spiritual master, because of which we are all sitting and discussing Bhagavatam here today. Jaya Srila Prabhupada ki!
Jaya!
Thank you very much.